The holidays, of course, can be a beautiful and joyful time of year, but for those who suffer from depression and anxiety, the holiday season can be an agonizing time. Author Matt Haig wrote about his own depression in his recently released book, Reasons to Stay Alive. When Matt was 24, he had a particularly difficult Christmas following a deep bout of depression and a suicide attempt. After writing that emotional memoir, Matt turned next to writing A Boy Called Christmas, a major departure, a children's book, but a project that proved to be therapeutic and that helped him remember the joy of the holiday season. The new book is A Boy Called Christmas, and we welcome Matt Haig to the roundtable this morning. Matt, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's an honor for you having me. Nice to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. Let's talk a little bit about how you came to write about Christmas and to ultimately write for children.
I suppose it came out of the fact that I'd written a very serious book for adults just beforehand. Reasons to Stay Alive was kind of my memoir of being in my 20s and my experience of depression and anxiety. And it was quite a, sort of a very serious book, obviously, given the subject. And I wanted to cheer myself up. I wanted to write the most optimistic kind of book I could write. A children's book seemed obvious. And then one day near Christmas, about two years ago, my son asked me what Santa Claus, or as we say, Father Christmas normally, what was Father Christmas like as a child? And I didn't have the answer to hand, so but my brain got ticking, and I thought, okay, I'll go away and write the answer. And hence the first book of the Christmas books, A Boy Called Christmas.
Let's talk about Reasons to Stay Alive for a moment. You were 24 years old, and the world just kind of caved in on you. Give us a sense of where you were and ultimately how you were diagnosed.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was quite lost. I was 24 years old. People have experience of depression in different ways. For some, it creeps up very slowly and gradually. For others, it's quite a sudden thing. In my case, it was quite a sudden thing. There were probably warning signs, but there wasn't any sign that I was paying attention to. And I was drinking perhaps a bit too heavily. Me and my girlfriend had got a summer job in Spain, so we weren't living the healthiest kind of life and not sleeping very much. But basically, one day I woke up with a panic attack, and the panic attack didn't end. So I was having some kind of nervous breakdown, and that lasted for about a week. And when I came out of that experience, I was sort of trapped in this new reality of depression, and it stayed like that for quite a long time. I'd say my recovery period was a good 3 years from getting back to anywhere near normal life after that. And it was very intense, very claustrophobic, and very scary, because at first I didn't even know what it was, what was happening to me. I felt in a very melodramatic way that this was like I was the first person this had happened to, because I didn't understand what it was. So it took me a long time to get the right diagnosis. I initially got diagnosed with something called panic disorder, which is a type of anxiety disorder where you're in a continual state of fear, you're about to have another panic attack. But it was a bit sort of deeper and more entrenched than that. And eventually I got a sort of dual diagnosis of depression and anxiety, which is a very, very, very common diagnosis. But at the time, it still felt like quite a scary one. And yeah, it took me a long, long time to get better. But I would say, out of that, and after that experience of being very suicidal and seeing absolutely no future for myself, I'd say, weirdly, with hindsight, I don't regret that much of it, because it's, in a very strange way, helped so much of my later life. I mean, I would say I've known more happiness that side of the line than I ever did before. So I have very, very mixed, bittersweet feelings about it all. And actually, there's a lot of good that came out of it, a lot of optimism. I wouldn't want to be back in that place again, but the fact that I managed to recover was something that gave me a lot of faith and belief in things that I previously thought of as impossible. And interestingly enough, this is kind of a theme of my Christmas books, because
right.
if you think about Christmas and believing in Santa and stuff, it's about belief and it's about hope and believing in things that other people might think are impossible. And actually, because I was so convinced that every single thing was going to get worse, that I would end my life, that, you know, if I didn't end my life, that I'd end up very, very ill forever in some institution, none of those things happened. And so it actually turned me into a more optimistic person, because reality proved the depression wrong. Before that, I'd been a sort of low-level pessimist. And then in depression, it makes you a very catastrophic kind of person. And yet the worst case scenarios never happened to me. So it actually changed me psychologically for the better in some ways, which is a very hard thing to explain to someone, because obviously depression is a very serious thing. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't wish it upon anyone. But as part of my therapy, it's been very useful to look at it and see the curse as also a gift, I suppose.
Did you suffer from seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of it. I mean, when I was very, very ill, it was just a continuous sort of flat state. You know, there was very little difference. Even like a sunny day would make very little difference to it. But generally, over the years, I've worked out that I'm a bit more delicate and fragile and vulnerable, you know, around October time, heading into fall, autumn. I'm very much aware of that. So that is part of it. I mean, the thing is with mental illness, and I discovered this more and more researching Reasons to Stay Alive, it overlaps so much. You know, depression overlaps with anxiety, overlaps with obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, there's such a blurred line between them. I mean, obviously, doctors have to allocate clear labels for people, and for understandable reasons. But the experience of suffering it often is very blurred. You don't necessarily know what you're suffering from at that single moment.
This is interesting, because I mean, you write in that book, I mean, you have had Christmas seasons that you've barely gotten through, and
yeah.
And I assume you could not have imagined yourself now writing rather positive books about this season.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Christmas, as well as the sort of where I live in England, and I know a lot of America as well, you know, we have the sort of colder, darker weather around Christmas. But for me, it was less about that, and it's more about the fact that you imagine everyone else is having this perfect time, this happy family time, and you're the only one feeling in despair and what's wrong with you and stuff. And I know a lot of people, ironically, feel like that. If you go back to when I was really ill, Christmas was one of the worst possible times. So again, I think, yes, the fact that I now throw myself into Christmas to the extent that I write about Christmas, and I've written two books about Christmas, I think that's, again, a therapeutic thing. I mean, my big thing has been to sort of embrace what scares me sometimes and just to sort of do that. But also, you know, Christmas was, for me as a child, Christmas was my sort of, like, safe place. It was my really happy time, my family time. I wasn't always that happy at school sometimes, but Christmas was always great, and I loved Christmas. And so again, it's one of those things where I've had sort of two experiences of. But certainly, yeah, writing the book was like an antidepressant for me.
Mm.
It's the way of getting back to that nice childhood feeling of Christmas.
Talk a little bit about that. We're talking about A Boy Called Christmas, which is out in hardcover, and how that was therapeutic to you, and to really ultimately bring back to you what the joys of Christmas were.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to say something that sounds a little bit pretentious about a children's book, but I had this idea of a metaphor, like a Father Christmas and Santa Claus and the chimney. Like, you know, you think about Santa, especially in this country where we have lots of chimneys, in England. I was thinking about sort of the darkness of the chimney and heading into the light, and that being the idea for the book. And that's a very, it's a sort of idea of recovery, you know, which is a bit similar to my own experience of depression. So I wanted to write a children's book that was happy, that was optimistic, and all of those things, but that acknowledged some of the sort of darkness of life. So Santa Claus's backstory, in my version, contains, you know, some quite sad things that happened to Santa as a young boy. But through it all, he stays very hopeful and optimistic, and eventually lots of great and good and wonderful things happen to him. And it's important, it was always important to do that, because I thought that if you're a child, or even if you're an adult, and you're going through a tough time in life, or you're worried about things, the last thing you want to read about is someone who, you know, everything is going right. You kind of need to have a character who's overcoming things, who has obstacles in his path, and still manages to be happy, still manages to find a reason to hope. So it is a happy children's Christmas book, but I hope the happiness is earned and there's a few sort of challenges in there. And the fun for me was just thinking about all the things we associate with Santa, the sack, the elves, the toy workshop, the reindeer, all of those things, and sort of just building origin stories around all of them.
And you like the idea of creating a world that we're familiar with, but giving it a new aspect.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I was really surprised. I went on Google after my son asked me that question to see if someone had done this story, because I assumed someone had written a story about Santa as a boy, and no one has done it. No one's done it in book form. No one has written that story. There's lots of stories around Santa and about possible Santa siblings and various things. So I thought, okay, I have to do this. And it was quite a tantalizing thing, knowing it was quite a big, high-concept idea as well.
Well, the name of the new book is A Boy Called Christmas. Also, the book we mentioned, Reasons to Stay Alive. Matt Haig, a great pleasure to have you on the program, and I hope you have a beautiful holiday season with your family.
Yes, you too. Happy Christmas.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Matt Haig is our guest. His books, Reasons to Stay Alive and A Boy Called Christmas. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.